Let's prepare ourselves to continue to study. We left off. Well, what we're in the midst of looking at is loving as Christ loved, the new commandment. We saw last time that this love is the fullness of God. And so we finished the Ephesians passage, and so let's pick it up right from there at this point, and that we can see what's going on. I am so convinced that as so much of the world misunderstands the person and work of our Savior Jesus Christ, that the whole of the body of Christ misunderstands the person and work of the Holy Spirit. And you have everything from avoidance to some type of just mystical way he's supposed to do things, to the charismatic movement, all kinds of things going on. Just as the unbelieving world, and by that I mean the religious unbelieving world, making a great deal out of Jesus Christ, but never understanding that it is just by faith in him that we're saved. They add to it in so many different ways. And so it is with the second, third member of the Godhead and the second standing, the Holy Spirit. This didn't surprise us. Satan's going to do everything that he can to confuse and blind about Jesus Christ when we were unbelievers, the unbelieving world. And obviously, if you slip by him and you do accept Jesus Christ as Savior, he's going to do whatever he can to blind and to avoid the power of the Holy Spirit. Very few Christians understand this member of the Godhead, his work, his purpose. You get seminars, books, and but you know, I find that in I got stacks of books from seminary and from pre-seminary and then since, and I just go through them occasionally, and very, very few, if any, tell you how to tap into his power. And what a shame. They'll talk books, this book, whatever. Great books as far as some of the books written by all of the symbols of the Holy Spirit, the dove, water, fire, and just go down there. I think there's something like, somebody's come up with something like 40 or 50 symbols of the Holy Spirit in the Bible, books written on his person, as being God. There's some of them dealing with some of the things he does in regard to the believer. But when you say, okay, how do I tap into that and all of these things and dealing with who and what he is, how he leads, how he does these things. Talking to a pastor not long ago, and very agitated, not angry, just agitated at his frustration of having to look at the Holy Spirit, but just trusting in him and the work of the Spirit. And, you know, not sarcastically, and I didn't take it sarcastically, just that frustration within he just does it mystically. And I said, no, not mystically, spiritually. I said, how did Christ do his work in you? Was it mystic? He said, no, spiritual. I said, same thing with the Holy Spirit. And getting the fruit of the Spirit, and getting the love that we've been talking about. This point of introduction here tonight is simply to say, we need him to understand his work. We need him to understand him. We say we need him to understand Scripture, and we need him to understand the Scripture that deals with him, that reveals him and manifests him to us. What he's here for. What is our relationship with him? And so, and it's so important when you, last week we looked at what I think is a very important point for the practical living of one another and living together, is if you read the Scriptures, it doesn't make all this discernment that modern Christianity has gotten into with women are this and men are this and all of this is about a woman and all of this is about a man. And not only that, but types of personalities people have. But if you open here, you just see the same spirit, the same love. It doesn't say now, man, you know, it's going to work for you differently and all these things like we saw with one another. Do not speak against one another, but in regard to the spiritual love. The spiritual love transcends, meaning it goes over, beyond, through, whatever word you want to use, the sexes, male, female, age, personality. It doesn't matter what the personality is. We saw a long time ago that what is it that Christ as God has chosen to mark someone as belonging to Him, and it had to be something that transcends centuries. It can't be something that they couldn't have gotten in the 5th century or the 10th century or the 6th century or whatever century you want to look at in church history. It's got to be something that transcends the conditions, a slave, a free man. But certainly someone that is a slave, when there was slavery, and there still is in the world at various places, but if a person is captured and being a slave somewhere, can he then not live the Christian life? Can he not manifest Jesus Christ? So whatever is going to be the mark that he belongs to Christ is going to have to be something that is independent of one's condition and circumstance of being free or slave. It has to transcend such things as classes. It can't be something that a rich person can do, but not a poor person. It's got to be something that the most extreme poor person can have happen inside of them to manifest that they belong to Christ, as well as any other economic circumstance. So it transcends economics. It transcends centuries. It transcends whatever's going on. If you're in a civilized area, if you're in a war time, if you're in a depression, if you're in a recession, if you're in prosperity, wherever you find yourself in the history of now some 2,000 years of church history, whatever this is that's going to mark somebody as a Christian, it has to be something that transcends all of that. That doesn't even, and I mean this as strongly as I can say it, doesn't even take that into consideration. Doesn't even matter whether you're male or female, whether you're this kind of personality or that kind of personality, whether you're rich or poor, slave or free, in prison or not in prison, whether you're in war, wherever you are, anyone can have this manifestation that I belong to Christ, this love flowing through them. This is how rich and powerful this is. Like I said, I don't know of anything that we're studying that's more important, that we could even study that's more important than tonight and tomorrow night. Spiritual love, and then the one another is really how it applies, how it looks in dealing with one another. So let's prepare ourselves in prayer that the Spirit can take us through these things now as we move to the next segment of study in our study of spiritual love, that He can open our eyes, that we can see these things. Let's pray. Father, we're touching that force that motivated you to put your son on a cross, that motivated your son to die in our place. That is the true mark that we belong to him by his own words, not our knowledge, not our moral righteousness, not our emotion, not our service, but whatever we do, that we love as Christ loved. And so, Father, we pray now that your Spirit will continue with us and take us on this journey. We're in no hurry because we're studying that which will mark us as belonging to you. Pray, Father, that your Spirit will protect us from the powers of darkness that would seek to intrude on our seeing this. We have come to the realization that if there is one thing that Satan hates, it comes from God. It's his love. He cannot stand that. For it is indeed your love that conquered him. It is your love that saves us. And so, Father, he would do everything he could to include our seeing and understanding. And then the flesh wants to rise, Father, and put in its own worth. Pray that your spirit will squash the usurping of our flesh. Pray, Father, that you just take us through and let us see the things that you would have us to see and what we look at tonight. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Coming up now, we just finished a nice little study in Ephesians 3. So let's get a couple of points here. And what we're going to look at now, is we're studying the new commandment. Don't want you to forget what we're kind of in here. And what we're studying is the new commandment. And the new commandment is to love one another as I have loved you. And that changes everything. We are to love one another, other believers. And then he says, as. It changes everything from the law. Because the law said to love your neighbor, and even that's changed because now it's one another. With people, it's far more difficult to love one another than it is to love an unbeliever. It's easy to love an unbeliever because we don't expect anything from an unbeliever. But boy, when you've been done in by a believer, when you've been hurt by a believer, when you've been wronged by a believer, either you have or you think you have, when you see a believer do something, this one another becomes a greater challenge. And this is what the angels are looking at, how we love one another. And the world is looking at that. And what the world does, they will look. You Christians are no different with one another than we are. You have no secret that we want to know. And people, we should have a secret, and that secret is the power of this love. But we don't demonstrate that we do. But to love one another as I loved you. Okay. He changed everything when he said as. As I love you. The old law said as you love yourself, which any unbeliever can do. Any believer can do in the flesh. We can love someone as we love ourselves, which has a lot of things in it. It's not something that can be taken for granted, because sometimes we are angry at ourselves. We become very angry at ourselves. We are ashamed of ourselves. We do all kinds of things to ourselves, and then that's the way we will deal with others. But this love will not even stop for that. In other words, those that were his enemy, what did he do? He died for us. He didn't take it out on us. He died for us. This is very powerful. So even the as you love yourself is not something wonderful. It's something that has a lot of problems related to it. But boy, look what he's done now. He's really up the ante, if you please. He's up the stakes now, as I love you. So we are out of the equation now. If I tell you to love one another as you love yourself, what are you going to do? You're going to be thinking of yourself. But with the new commandment, love one another as I love you, we're no longer thinking of ourselves, are we? By the very nature of this new command, we focus all our attention on how Christ loved me. So by the very nature of the command itself, as you and I walk in life and as the Spirit pours in this love, we are drawn to think not of ourselves, we are drawn to think of how Christ loves. Not even how somebody else loves. Just one person, how Christ loves. So this is where we are. This is the journey we have been on. Okay, point one, just to kind of pull things together every now and then. How, because that's what we got to ask, how did Jesus Christ love? What was the cause? By that question, I mean, what was the cause of the love of Christ? And very quickly, he could have loved by his deity. He could have loved by his deity. Had he chosen to love by his deity, then we could not have done that because we are not God. We are finite. And so, had he chosen that way, we're in trouble. He could have loved by his perfect humanity. Had he chosen to love by his own perfect humanity, again we could not have fulfilled that command because we are not perfect. How did he love? He loved, he chose to love by walking, staying, being in the power of the Holy Spirit. Bingo. Now we can love as he loved. You can love as Christ loved because you have that same Spirit. Jesus Christ set the precedence of this love, spiritual love. He showed us how, what was the cause of this love. The cause of this love is the power of the Spirit, the third member of the Godhead. So it is a love that is given to him. And now we can love that way. Okay, point two. Jesus Christ, after giving us the command, which we could not have fulfilled as it was, but so Jesus Christ sent to us the same power source he had. He departed planet Earth. Let's put it on here. He departed. In fact, let me go back and even say first, he gave the command, the new commandment. He gave the new commandment. Then he departed. And if we could just kind of think in this way, hey, before you leave, I can't do that. I can't do that. Well, there he goes. There he goes. Look, we can't do it. Okay. He departed. And then what did he do? Out of his love, out of grace, and out of understanding us, he then sent. And when I say he, some passages say Jesus Christ sent the Spirit. Some passages say God sent the Spirit. Different, but similar. All right. Then he sent to us, the same Holy Spirit, the third member of the Godhead. People, we have so many wonderful places to go. I've got some of the exegetical studies done. It's just been sitting there gathering dust, and sometimes I think, well, I'm just going to pull it out because I'm burning to get into it. In John 14, I'm going to... In fact, let me see if they got it down here somewhere. But, here it is right here with this. He sent to us the Holy Spirit. He sent to us another helper. And the word in the Greek for another is another of the same kind. Another of the same kind helper. That's who he sent to us. Jesus Christ is God. The Holy Spirit is God. So he sent to us a helper just like himself. That's whom he sent to us. If you will, open the scriptures with me to John 14. I'm going to at least get into it. We will not study it by any means, but you can kind of carry it in your soul, and when we come to it, you'll be ready. John 14, verse 15. John 14, verse 15 through 17. John 14, 15, 17. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, what are his commandments? In context. Don't go running around all over the Bible. Stay in context. What do the disciples understand he's saying here? Believe and love. If you look at the text, those are the two commandments he's given them. To love and to believe. Okay. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him nor know him, but you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. We'll come to what all that means later. What I want you to look at here, another helper. This is another of the same kind. People, this pattern has been going on since the beginning. If we can, if you'll permit yourself to watch this, this wording, another helper, a word helper, of the same kind. Let's go back to the garden. Let's go back to Adam. And does anybody remember the wording of what God decided to give Adam? We call her a woman. Or what is she called? A helper corresponding to you. Another, and I'm going to show you Greek and Hebrew, another of the same kind, another helper of the same kind. This has been going on. So here you have a picture of Adam and Eve, and what I'm going to show you when we come to this passage and look at this, you're looking at the relationship of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Because often what we look at, and it is correct, but often we limit the word helper in John to ourselves. We think of it, oh, he's going to help me, another helper for me. I want you to broaden your understanding, another helper for Christ. Also, he's going to help Christ, he's also going to help us. Okay, so here's a picture of what we have going on here. So we get a picture of what the Holy Spirit is about and why, if we understand the relationship of a husband and a wife, not so much today because arrogance in modern society will not permit it, but the woman draws attention and gives glory to the man in the true principle of a marriage, and this is what the Holy Spirit will do in regard to Jesus Christ. And there's just so much to be seen and to understand of the relationship between Adam and Eve, between Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, and then between the Holy Spirit and us. But what I want you to see is, first of all, how did he love? He loved by the power of the Spirit. Oh, well, that's fine. That's good. I don't have him. Ah. He departed, and when he got to heaven, then what did he do? He sent, along with the Father, he sent or commissioned the Holy Spirit to us to be another helper of the same kind as himself. Look at chapter 15, verse 26. Chapter 15, verse 26. When the helper comes, take title for him. When the helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father and the Son, so close here. Who sent him? Well, here it says he sent him, but I show you passages where the Father sent him. So don't try to nail this down and make everything fit your little equation. When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you, I will send future. That will be 10 days after his departure and ascension into heaven. He enters into what we saw in our study in Hebrews with the communion study when he goes into the temple in heaven. Then he's going to send to us a Helper. I will send from the Father. That is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father. Jesus Christ comes from the Father. The Holy Spirit comes from the Father. He, this helper, will testify about me. He will testify, witness about me to you, and then you will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning. Okay? One more passage, look at chapter 16, verse 7. But I tell you the truth. Well, I didn't think he was going to lie to us, but there's a reason for that little introduction, because you have to watch sometime when Christ does speak. But I will tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. And, you know, let's just say, can you imagine what would have happened? Let's just say somebody, let's say Mary, Martha, one of these gals got it. He's going to go away, and I understand that when he goes away, he's going to send us the Spirit. Can you imagine, before the crucifixion, before all that happened, she's with some believers, and boy, it's going to be great when Jesus Christ leaves earth and gets out of here. Oh, are you crazy? You're a heretic. And I mean, they'd have been all over her like something unbelievable. I tell people, don't get bogged down with the Lordship of Jesus Christ so that you never get on to the Lordship of the Spirit and the Lordship of the Father. Get great reaction. Anger. You're wrong. Heretic. All this kind of stuff. But look, our Savior says it himself in verse 20 and verse 7. He says, I tell you the truth. Get this understanding. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. Jesus Christ is never on planet Earth during the church. He never comes here. We saw that in our study of Isaac. He never is on Earth. The Helper is. The Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. So this becomes so powerful. You know, there's another beautiful verse. If I can find it very quickly here. Look at verse, chapter 15, verse 26 or 28. Chapter 14, verse 28. You know, it helps to allow the Spirit to open our eyes so that we can see things. You heard that I said to you, I go away. Now, what did they do? They fell apart, became fearful, worried about themselves. What's going to happen? Why are you leaving? I thought the kingdom was coming. And don't leave. We're going to go with you. Peter said, I'll go with you, boy. I'll die. I'll do whatever it takes. Now, look what he says. And I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I go to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Pastors have to do funerals and just keep letting the Spirit lead me on these things, and was in the midst of all of this when I did Ron Henderson's, and it was a totally different type of a message, because I use this as the foundation. If we're really loving, we're happy where he is. If we're really loving, because he's with the Father. And took that procedure with this. But what I want to show you is that, okay, I want you to love as I love. How did he love? By the power of the Spirit. He left. We don't have the Spirit. So what did he do out of his grace, out of his love, out of understanding? He sends to us the Holy Spirit. He left, but he sends to us another helper, the same kind as he is. I've often wondered, why do people have problems trusting the Holy Spirit? When I say trust the Holy Spirit, have faith in the Spirit, people fall apart. He's God. Do you have a problem trusting God? I mean, is there some kind of a problem here in trusting God? I don't have a problem trusting God. So here it is. The Holy Spirit's coming to us. Jesus Christ is departing, so we're going to trust him. He sent to us. Okay, enough there. Point three. Let's get it down. The Holy Spirit was given to us so we could love as he loved. Oh, yeah, but what about people? I'm not saying there are not other reasons. Just calm down. I just love to talk to some people that are just, you know, oh, but what about, who's this? Well, wait a minute. We're dealing with this verse. We're dealing with this concept. He's also said to lead you, guide you, teach you, give you the fruit. Yeah, let's list all the reasons. But right now, we're looking at this one. He was sent to us. The Holy Spirit was given to us very clearly so that we could love as Jesus Christ loved. Spiritual love is poured into our hearts, poured into our souls, Romans 5:5, by the Holy Spirit. It's not by the energy of the flesh. This is one of those things that we study with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. How you see, how you get the fruit of the Spirit, people, it's going to determine your whole life if you want the fruit. And if I say to you, all right, you want the fruit, this is what you're going to have to do. Well, then you're going to do that. If I say it's dependent upon knowledge of doctrine, boy, every day, let's get it, because I want the fruit. If I say it's dependent on moral righteousness, boy, I want to be sure I walk the straight and narrow. I want to do it. If I tell you that's by emotional second blessing, then I'm going to make sure I get that blessing. If it's by some commitment of service and life, I want to be sure my whole life is committed, and then I'll get them. No. Simply by trusting Him. Now, what does that mean? That means every day I'm just going to walk by faith, trusting His Spirit. See, it's going to influence how you live every day. It's going to live by trusting the Spirit. So point three, the Holy Spirit, in our study, Jesus Christ loved by the Holy Spirit. He sent to us the Spirit. He sent us the Spirit so that we could now love as He loved. We do not have, we saw in Ephesians, this idea of ability, having the ability to do something. We do not have in the flesh the ability to love as Christ loved. We have to understand that, admit that. It's just like saying, I do not have the ability to lift 1,000 pounds. I simply do not have that ability. We've got to be able to acknowledge, I do not have the ability to love as Christ loved. As a matter of fact, I'll even be stronger than that with you. Sometimes I don't even want to. I want to be angry. I want to get even. But even if I wanted to, I cannot love as Christ loved. Okay. The Holy Spirit is now sent to us so that you can love just as Christ loved. That's why He was sent. Let me just stop for a moment. Rather than just laying that out for you, what does that mean? You might hear a preacher that has great rhetoric and that ability to emote people when they speak, talk about the cross and the love of Christ, the love of God. But I want you to understand now, is that you have inside of you that same, the potential of that same love that put Him on the cross. The same, the very same love that motivated God to send His Son is inside of you. In your home, work, social life, assembly, wherever you and I are. We have the potential now with the giving of the Holy Spirit who gave Jesus Christ the love of God. Now, He is inside of you so that you can love that same way. You can love to the point that you would sacrifice yourself for the reconciliation of another to God. It's in you. One thing about God, Jesus Christ, God never asks us anything that He does not first give us. He asks us to believe in His Son. He gives to every living creature, human being, a measure of faith. Now, whether or not you will give that faith to Him, meaning trust in His Son, is entirely up to you. But every human being has a measure of faith. Now God says, now, trust Me. Here, love Me. I can't do it, so He gives us the Holy Spirit. Now you can. Doesn't mean you will. It does not mean you will love Him and you will love one another, but you have it in your pocket, as it were. Somebody comes up and says, give me $1,000. Hey, I don't have $1,000. If I had $1,000, I'd give it to you. I don't have it. And we understand that. I don't have this love. It just isn't there. I would not do some of the things that Christ did to some people that are my enemies. The way I have been hurt by people in life, I would not lay down my life for them. I'd lay down their life, but I would not lay down my life. Okay, now He's given it to you, the potential of it. It's inside of you. All you have to do is tap into it. Question is going to be, how do I tap in to it? How do I tap into it? There, 4.4. How do we receive His love? How do we receive His love? The love of the Holy Spirit. How do we allow Him to pour inside of us? How does He do that, and when will He do that? How will I get Him to do what He was given to do to and for me? Okay, let's go back to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was sent to bring you to God the Father, to pave the way for you to be reconciled and restored to God the Father. The question is, how can I receive the propitiatory work of Christ? How do I get His work here affecting me? Because I want to be reconciled to God. I want what He did. How do I get it? Is the great question. How you answer that is crucial. Some people say you've got to do, and whatever it is their list is. We say all you have to do, because this is what we read the Bible as saying, is trust Him. When you trust Jesus Christ, not God the Father, not the Spirit, when you trust Him, He gives you His work. Boom, you have it. Now, come to the Holy Spirit. Another helper just like Christ. Pattern is established. How do I get this love that He sent to pour inside of me? Let's be silly so we can communicate. Here He is inside of us, and He's got a bucket, and this bucket's full of love. How do I get Him to pour it? Romans 5:5 says He pours love into our heart. How do I get Him to lift that bucket and pour it in? I trust Him to do what He is sent to do. You are sent to pour that bucket of love inside my soul. I'm trusting you to do it. Oh, okay, you trust me. There. Give you a little shot of it. You keep on trusting, I pour some more. As long as you walk, He just keeps pouring the fruit of the Spirit. That's just a picture of what we have going on. This is how we tap into what the Holy Spirit was given to us to do. Okay, point five. It is by the filling of the Spirit that the believer lays the foundation of love of Christ in himself. It is by the empowering, if you don't like the word filling, the empowering of the Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, the enabling of the Spirit, whatever word you like. Some people have trouble with the filling of the Spirit, but the enabling of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit. It is by the power of the Spirit that believers lay the foundation of the love of Christ in them. This is what we saw in Ephesians 3:16 to 21. I'm pulling that into this point, part of it. Okay, point six, purpose. Purpose of the Holy Spirit is to produce the love of Christ in you. Produce the person of Christ, or the production of the love of Christ in you. Also, this is called the fullness of God. We saw this in Ephesians. So, you have the love of Christ, the fullness of God, because we looked and we saw the phrase fullness of God, how it refers to His love, how it refers to Jesus Christ, and how those are different but the same. So, when the Holy Spirit is pouring in this love and it starts changing you, transforming you, you're being filled with the fullness of God. And finally, point seven, the result. Now, you want to play a game? Let's see if we can list 50 results. Yeah, we can do that. Let's just make it simple, staying with some things we've looked at. Here's some of the results. One, all will know that you belong to Him. That's from the new commandment. I'm not here to see how many of these I can get. I've just taken some that we've looked at that are big. What is the result of this love coming through? All will know that you're mine. That's what He said in the new commandment. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this love, all will know. All will know. Not all people. All includes angels who are watching this thing as we saw in Job, and man, and self. All will know that you're mine. Dear people, dear people, there is nothing that will validate that somebody is a believer or not a believer. That's a state of being. Is there something that will validate, manifest, that they're walking in the Spirit or not? Yes, this love. This love. I cannot say if this person were a believer, this would happen. So since this isn't happening, they're not a believer. No, can't do that. I can say with James, they're not walking by faith in the Spirit because there is no love. So we do know that there is a manifestation if you're walking in the Spirit, but there is no manifestation that you are in Christ. Just the fact that you are in Him. Now, you want people to know that you're in Christ? Then love. Christ said, here's how they'll know. You love as I love. And what is important here is, so often when we like to look at people, well, that person couldn't be a believer. Why do we say that? Well, because we look at the somebody that's out in the world, they're worldly. Very few times will you hear somebody say that of somebody who is very what? Very good, very religious, very look off. But let me tell you something, people. There is no difference before God in that person that's out in the debauchery of the prodigal son at that point and somebody like the brother that's home living like a hypocrite. There's no difference before God. The world may think it's nicer, but there's no difference before God. So don't, if you want to look and say, oh, well, you know, this person, I know this person's not saved because they're out living like this. Well, this person's not saved either. Look at the way they're living in religion and never walking by faith in the Spirit. So what am I saying here is don't get involved in judging. We'll see this tomorrow night. Don't set yourself up, well, this person's a believer and this person's not a believer. That's not our place. There is no mark of that. But if you want the world to know it, if you want the world to know it, how do I do that? By learning doctrine? By being morally righteous? By emoting? By serving? No. By loving as He loved. Then people, no matter what you do, moral righteousness, learning truth, emoting, or serving, what will you be doing then? You'll be doing it in love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. If I speak with the tongue of the language of angels, which is an astounding concept of spiritual warfare, if I know all truth, if I give all my money to feed the poor, if and all those things, but without love, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. Those are not the mark. The mark is that this love is there. So you can give, but there's no love there. There's no love there. You can do something, and there's no love there. Then it's nothing. You're nothing. So it is this love that they're going to know there's something different about this person. So that's the first one. Second result. The second result, you'll fulfill your own personal goal of Christ formed in you. What is this journey we're going on? We keep talking about this journey. Where do I want this journey to find me? Christ formed in me, transformed into the image of Christ. Those kinds of statements. Okay, what is that? What is Christ being formed in you? It is His love. It is His love. Thirdly, and I'm just picking these three, one related to the spiritual warfare, all will know that you belong to Christ. The second one related to you, you will be transformed into the image of Christ when this love is poured in. And then the third one, is in regard to your ambassadorship, regard to bringing others into a relationship with Him. Bringing others into Him, the greater work. What does God say? What attracts us? It's His love that attracts us. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, I am compelled by a love where one would die for all. People, that's the kind of God you can trust. I don't like the God that a lot of people have. A lot of people have a God that walks around with a hammer, walks around. And they fear Him. And boy, they walk the straight and narrow out of fear. God's going to get them. What kind of God do you have? What kind of God do you worship? What kind of God do you see in Scripture? The God that is presented to us, that draws us to Him, is a God of love. Do you not know that it is my kindness, the kindness of my love, that draws you to repentance? Okay, so this is a quick summary, pulling us up to where we've been now. One of the biggest problems of a multitude of believers is that they do not know about the Holy Spirit, why the Holy Spirit was given to them, how it works. People, the Holy Spirit is not given to glorify you. He's not given to glorify you. God, the Holy Spirit, is given to every believer to glorify Christ. That's why He's given. He is not given for you, for your glory, but for your relationship with the Father and for your glory of the glory of His Son. And don't lose sight of this, please. Why is He given to me? The Holy Spirit is inside of you for the sake of the benefit of God the Father, the benefit of God the Son, but not for you. See, why did Jesus Christ come? Let's get a pattern again, so that this will be easy for you to see. Jesus Christ came, but He didn't come for Himself, did He? He came for God the Father. He came to bring us to the Father. That's why He came. He did not come for Himself. He did not come for His glory. All people, when we get to the book of Revelation, now you're going to get to the glory of Christ when He takes the place of the priest of the prehistoric world, when He takes the place of the number one in the prehistoric world. See, the priest in the prehistoric world, and we're going to have to go through all of this. We have three universes, and here's the universe past, here's the universe present, the one that we're involved in, and here's the universe of the future. And in the past one, the priest between heaven and earth, the angels down here, here are the angels, and here is the Godhead, was one Lucifer, the bright and shining one. He was the priest. He went back and forth. He represented the angels to God and God to the angels. That's what He did. And then one day He came down and He said, "Hey, people, angels, I am." And that's when the great battle started. Now we're going through this battle, this thing here, but who's going to take His place in the future world? And that's where God is going to say, "Now I'm going to show you the glory of the one that's going to take His place." And it's Revelation, singular. People get all messed up. Boy, they want the revelation of the beast. They want the revelation of the dragon. They want the revelation. People, the book is about the revelation of the Son of God, the glory of Jesus Christ. The Gospels are not about the glory of Jesus Christ. The Gospels are about the Father. I came and revealed the Father. You want to know what God is and about God the Father? Let's take a look at Christ in the Gospel of John as well as Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And we'll learn about the Father. If you want to learn about Jesus Christ, let's go over here to the book of Revelation in the future and see Him raised up in glory to take Lucifer's place here. And that's what's going to happen. That's what it's all about. Such as planning when we do Revelation, for the revelation of the beast and the dragon and on and on and on. I'm going to give you something far superior than all of that. I'm going to give you the revelation of the Son of God. Because that's what it's about. It's that simple. It's not a difficult thing. It's difficult if you want to get involved with the dragon. You want me to reveal the dragon and the beast to you? Yes, Satan, the seven-headed dragon. Now, you happy? Okay. Now, so this is what is going on. And Jesus Christ came to reveal God the Father. Now, here's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came. He does not come to manifest Himself. He does not come to glorify Himself. And I've had that thrown at me, and I like it when it's done, because it gives an opportunity to communicate. The first thing when you talk about trust, the Spirit did not come to glorify Himself or draw attention to Himself. We don't trust Him. Time out. Isn't that what Jesus Christ did? He didn't come to glorify Himself or draw attention to Himself. Did He? No. But whom do we trust? we trust him. He didn't come to glorify himself either. The Holy Spirit didn't. He came to glorify Christ. So what am I going to do? I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit, just as I trusted Jesus Christ to do what? To get to the Father. Pardon us, so simple. We can make this very difficult with our theology, our arrogance, our divisions, our denominations, our knowledge, on and on and on and on. It's not that difficult. So, God the Holy Spirit is given to every believer for the glory of Christ. Jesus Christ came for the benefit of the Father, bring man to God the Father. So everything that the Holy Spirit does in us is for the glory and purpose of Jesus Christ. All the ministries of the Holy Spirit in you, fruit of the Spirit, the learning of Scripture, and I'm going to pull spiritual love out of the fruit, spiritual love, guidance, giving us wisdom, service, whatever things we want to talk about that the Holy Spirit does, because he does so many, they're not for you. They're not for you. They're not for us. They're not for him. They are for the glory of Christ. People like Christians to get all worked up about spiritual gifts. I did. I spent too much time, long time ago. I didn't know how many of you were here then. On spiritual gifts. I've got my notes about like that. Everything you want to know and more. Things you don't even want to know. Things you wish you didn't know. All that kind of stuff. People get all, there are some. Some Christians get all worked up about spiritual gifts. You know, one of the most important things that is said about a spiritual gift, they're not for you. My spiritual gift is not for me. It is not for me. It's for you. Your spiritual gift is not for you. It's for me. It's for others in this assembly. They're not for me. They're not. This isn't for me. Yours isn't for you. Scripture is very clear on this. They are for the body of Christ. He gave you a spiritual gift for others, so that you could serve and be a part of the body. The joints in our body, they're not for themselves. They're for the whole body, so that the body can move and fulfill all that the body's supposed to do. As important as that little red heart is, it's not for itself. It's there for every part of the body. It sends out oxygen and nutrients to all the body. It's not there for itself. It's for the whole body. As important as the heart is, it's not for itself. There's nothing in the body that's just for itself. It serves the whole body. So, you have a gift, people, every one of you do. But let me tell you something. It's not for you. Don't go hide it. Don't run off and hide your spiritual gift. I need it. Others in this assembly need it. That's why you have it. It's to serve and to help others. I want to get into that. So, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not for us. The Holy Spirit is for the person of Jesus Christ. And everything he gives us, all the fruit of the Spirit, are for Christ. They're for the glory of Christ. They're not for us. And I'm going to say that a lot of times. The fruit, singular. Why is it singular? It's singular because the totalness of all of the fruit do what? Transform you into the being of Christ himself. It's not for you. It's so that Christ can be manifested through us. John just said it so beautifully. John, the forerunner, I must decrease that he increase. And he is the greatest of all up to his time. And that's the way he worded it. And people, until I decrease, and boy, the journey that God has to take some people on to get you to this point is unbelievable. I must decrease, that he increase. How do we decrease? We decrease when we walk by faith. That's why faith is part of the battle, people. Because when you walk by faith, what you're saying is, I can't do this. And boy, we John Wayne Christians don't like that. The flesh doesn't like that. How do you decrease? You decrease when you walk by faith because faith says, I can't do this. He's going to have to give it to me. He's going to have to give this to me. So I can't do it. So therefore, I'm going to have to walk by faith. How does he increase? When we lack as he lacks. He increases in our being. So he's not there for you. He's not there for us. Okay. We're not ready, which I thought we'd be after 30. I thought all of this would take us 30 minutes. And we're ready now. He's laughing. We've got some passages we're going to look at in regard to spiritual love and the giving of the Holy Spirit. So we'll start right here next Tuesday night and continue our study in loving as Christ loved you. Let's close in a word of prayer. Well, Heavenly Father, we're right back at the most wonderful place. We're back with you. Our study tonight has brought us to you. The glory of the Spirit, the glory of Christ, is to bring us to your glory and to a relationship with you. This is your love. This is you. For you have declared you are love. So what we're doing, Heavenly Father, is when we allow your Spirit by faith to pour this love into us, we're showing the world how you love. You are an invisible God, but real. The world cannot see you, but they see how you love when we allow your Spirit to pour this love in us. Pray, Father, your Spirit will keep us mindful of that. This is what we're doing. We're showing the world how you love. Father, pray that you take the things now that the Spirit has shown to us, make them a reality in our souls and in our daily lives. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.